Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Edward Lane, and yesterday I got to spend the day with Russ, and one of the things I got to share with him is that I'm learning Hungarian. So I'd like to practice it. I've just did a little word a moment ago. I said good morning. So, Jóragat, which is good morning. And the reason I'm learning Hungarian is that my wife, my beautiful wife who's here, we are expecting our first child literally next month. So it's 1st of October, so countdown is on. So I thought it would be important. And obviously we got baby dedications that went on here. So yeah, it's good practice, getting very, very excited. But one of the things that I'm also a bit apprehensive about is that I recognize that I'm not going to be a young dad. You know, I'm 42 years of age, I'm not getting any younger. And the older I've got, one of the things I've had to get checked out is my eyes. And I realized how old I was when the lady said, well, when was the last time you had your eyes tested? And I said, about 30-odd years ago. And I was amazed. I don't know if you've had your eyes tested recently, but I went in and they had all these gadgets and gizmos. And one of the things that they had was this little R2-D2 device that came up. And I could see all of the kind of retina and the optical nerve that goes back into it. And the optical nerve is where the information goes into your brain. So in the here and now, as you're sitting here listening to the sound of my voice, there is literally 2 billion bits of information that you could be paying attention to in any one moment of time. Now, if you were paying attention to 2 billion bits of information, you'd probably go mad. So your brain does a very unique thing in that it literally deletes most of that information. So in this moment right now, there's only between, say, 7 plus or minus 2 things that you could be paying attention to. So between 9 and 5 things in any one moment in time. So let me give you a real life example of that right now. So as I've been standing here and you've been listening to the sound of my voice, how many of you had paid attention to how your left foot had been feeling inside of your shoe? But as I mention it, and I talk about it, and I go on about how your left foot is feeling inside of your shoe, how many of you are becoming more aware of it? Now, question for you. Was the experience of your left foot being inside your shoe there before I mentioned it? And the answer to it is yes, because none of you came in here and put your shoes on, did you? But what happened was your brain turned around and said, do I need to know how my left foot is feeling in this moment? And for most of you, you went, no, I don't need to know how my shoe feels in this moment. And so even though it's an experience, your brain just deleted it. So the ability to delete information is very powerful because it allows us to focus in and pay attention to the things that are important, but it can also hinder us. Let me give you an example. You know, I like going for a lovely walk in the countryside with my wife, and you know, very often, because of the things I do in my work, I get distracted. My mind goes elsewhere. And so I don't pay attention to the things that are around me, the sounds of the birds, you know, the beautiful scenery, etc. You know, I wonder when it was the last time that you gave God your soul's attention. In Daniel 6, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And a stone is rolled across and he's kept there all night. But in the morning when he wakes up, he doesn't have a scar on him. The lions sleep. You know, very often we can be put into situations and our focus is on our problems, not necessarily on God. Elena made reference to that a moment ago. So our ability to delete is a very powerful tool, but it can also hinder us at the same time. So in the here and now, we delete. And the next thing that happens is we distort information. Now, Daniel mentioned it a moment ago, you know, the nation of Nigeria. And Nigeria is a great nation. However, I believe truly that our greatest nation is our imagination. Now, one of the things I like doing is reading a good book, and I'm a true believer that leaders are readers. So if you're not reading a book, then you know, I'd highly encourage you, you know, or maybe plug into some Audibles or some podcasts and things like that. But literally when we're reading, what we're doing is reading black ink on a white page. But because of our ability to distort information or our ability to use our imagination, what happens is that we can actually place ourselves in that story, make ourselves a central character, and go through feelings and emotions that otherwise we'd never been able to experience in our own lives. So the ability to distort information or use our imagination is very powerful, but it can also hinder us as well. Let me give you another example. When I moved up to the north of England, the first place I moved to was a town called Barnsley. And I moved into a flat which was on the top floor. And a week of living there, suddenly I heard a noise in my room. And I felt like there was somebody in there. And as I looked up, there was somebody in my room. Someone had broken into my room. Unfortunately, I woke up and scared them and they ran away. But for many weeks and months that passed, if I heard a noise in the house, I'd wake up, I'd turn on the lights, I'd look around the house, open up the balcony, and there'd be a pigeon. So our ability to use our imagination is very powerful, but it can also hinder us as well. Jesus spoke in parables, and it was Jesus' ability to give us those parables to allow us to use our imagination. And Jesus says in Matthew 17, he says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And very often in life, we make our problems in our distortions bigger than what they have to be. And we make the problem, which is with a solution, which is often very small, again, in our imagination, we imagine that it has to be a big thing. So the ability to distort information and use our imagination is very powerful, but it can also hinder us at the same time. So in the here and now, we delete, we distort. And the third thing that we do is that we generalize. Everybody generalizes all the time. Notice some generalizations there? And I know literally most of you generalize, because when I watched you come into this room, all of you did pretty much this one thing, is that you came in, and when you were told to put your bottoms down, none of you had to work out that this thing with four legs, a back, and somewhere to put your bottoms is a chair. Because you've seen chairs before. You have a generalization about how chairs work. None of you have to work out that that is a chair. And so our generalizations, our ability to generalize, is very powerful because it allows us to function in environments like this without having to learn new behaviors. But it can also hinder us as well. Let me give you an example. So they did this experiment where they gathered a group of people off the street and they told them to wait in a waiting room. And when they were called, they had to go through this door. And there'll be a test on the other side. Now, the test was not what was through the door. The test was actually getting through the door. So, if we have a picture of the door up. Yep. So, picture of the door here. Ordinary door. Now, your generalizations about door would lead you to assume that in order to enter that door, you'd have to pull down the handle, push the door, and then go through. Now, if it doesn't open, you might think, well, okay, well, maybe if I slide the door, yep. And if it doesn't open like that, maybe if I try a different way, or just kick it. But if it doesn't open, your generalizations about doors would lead you to believe that this door is closed. However, I'm here to tell you that this door is very, very open. Ordinary door, handle on this side, except when somebody tells you that the hinges to the door have been put on the other side where the handle isn't. Sorry, where the handle is, sorry, where the handle is. So in order to get through the door, all you'd need to do is change your approach and go through it a different way. You know, perhaps you were like me. And there was a moment in my life when I was trying to go through doors the difficult way. But I'm here to tell you there are no shortcuts in life. There are no easy doors to go through. Jesus said, you know, narrow is the gate. But he also says that I am the door. I am the way. And the problem was that in my life, and maybe you were like the same, is that I put up this barrier between me and God. And the Bible describes that as sin. And maybe you've had generalizations about who God should be, and that's left you to a distorted image of him, and therefore you've deleted him from your life. And in that moment of my life when things weren't working out, I felt a lot of sin and a lot of shame on me. And so I sought refuge in a counselor, something I'd never done before. And I opened up to this guy and I said, I want my life back. I want what I'd had back. And he said, I can't promise to give you that back. What I can do is help you to become somebody who could go about creating a new life. And I said, what does that look like? And he said, well, I'll help you to, you know, be the type of person who, if a child falls down, you'll pick them up, dust their knees off, pat them on the way and say nothing about it. You'll help old ladies cross the street. You'll open doors. You'll pull out chairs. When people go into battle, they'll follow you and they won't question why. You'll stand on a rock and when the waves hit, you won't be moved. And he said, can you think of anybody who is like that? So I thought about it, scratched my head, and I went, Mel Gibson, Braveheart. Good answer. He said, anyone else? Denzel Washington, Man on Fire. Good film, by the way, but not the right answer. Liam Neeson, Taken. And as I kept on going, the weeks and the months that passed, suddenly I went, I get a feeling that you'd like me to go to church. And he said, is that something you'd like to do? I said, I'll give it a go. And I kept on going to church. And it led me to a big event. And in that event, this preacher came on. He started preaching from Mark 2. And if you've never read it, again, you know, leaders are readers. I encourage you to read it. And he spoke about this man who was brought to Jesus. And there were so many people there that there wasn't enough room for him to come in. And he'd been paralyzed his whole life. And in order to get him in, they tore off the roof. And they lowered this man down right to the foot of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And one of the things, if you read this, is that you'll notice that the people think it, the religious leaders think it, they don't say it, that who is he to forgive sins? They delete it because they had a generalization about who God should be and therefore distorted it. And Jesus turns around to them and he says, truly, I say to you that I have the power over heaven and earth to forgive sins. And in that moment, the man gets up, stands up, walks out of the room, and everybody is amazed. And so in that moment, freedom came. The chains were broken. And I received what I call the Holy Spirit. And so I don't want you to miss this moment right now. So maybe some of you have wanted to have that moment. I'd like to give you that moment right now, in the here and now. So if you're able, if you just want to just stand to your feet, I'm just going to say a very simple prayer. It's called the Sinner's Prayer, and it goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the wrong things I have said, done, or thought. I'm sorry for the hurt this may have caused to myself and others. Thank you for choosing to die for me. Today, I no longer delete you from my life or distort the truth of who you are. Today, I ask you to come into my life and be my God. Wash me clean, make me brand new. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.